You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning top boutique wealth manager. With me today is Aaron Ruttenberg, and he wrote an article, and it asked the question in the title. It says, feeling rattled by the markets, here's what not to do. And there's a distinction. Not what should we do, here's what we shouldn't do. Aaron, back in February, I think we spoke in February actually, and you were fielding calls and you were massively busy because of the tax year end. Then in March, I got an email from one of your colleagues saying, sorry, everybody, but we're so busy at Brenthurst at the moment. The podcast or the broadcast that we'd planned might be a little bit delayed. So I thought, hello, carry on with the February busyness. And then you're probably thinking, I'm so looking forward to Easter coming up on the 18th, Good Friday. And suddenly, intervention from one Donald J. Trump. It's been extraordinary, hasn't it, Aaron?
It's been certainly extraordinary, and thank you very much for that. I think since we've last spoken, so much has changed, which is exactly why investing in the market is such a wonderful thing, because there's things that change from one month to the next, and this is why I'm so passionate about it. And Trump has really obviously rattled the markets to a point which has got clients now on the phone for different reasons, or people wanting to invest, especially existing clients that know me and who I've educated well, that are running towards the flames instead of away.
Yeah, I don't know how you approach it, but let's have a look at the article just to reveal what we shouldn't do. I mean, the first thing that springs to mind is, oh my goodness me, the S&P is down 17% in the last week or so. I've got to get out because it could get worse. Wrong decision, I think.
Very much the wrong decision. And if you've been feeling anxious, you're not alone. You know, since Trump began his second term, his wave of executive orders, particularly aggressive trade tariffs, it sent shockwaves through the market. And South Africa, you know, hasn't escaped scrutiny either, you know, within our local market. And it's understandable many investors are feeling nervous about what it all means for their portfolios. And, you know, the S&P 500 is down, NASDAQ's down, the Dow is down, even funnily enough, up quite significantly in the futures today.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is not doing anything is sometimes the best answer.
So you just let the madness continue, sitting, looking at the markets and the market participants, more importantly, with an indulgent eye, looking at presidents like President Trump coming up with the most absurd statements sometimes. I don't want to get political, but sometimes even I look at him and say, did you really say that, Mr. President? As you say in your article, presidents come and go. But once Trump has completed his second term, the market will still be there and it'll be going higher. And history dictates that these sort of sell-offs eventually result in a very good market afterwards. It takes a while, sometimes longer than others. But anyway, they recover, Aaron.
They absolutely recover. And this is why I wrote an article. And I decided to dive into how Democrats and Republicans have performed with an aim of not to get political, because politics is just talk and the market doesn't care in the long term. And many investors worry that the market will perform better or worse depending on which party holds power or which president opens their mouth. And we know that the US is the biggest economy in the world, and they create products and services which we use on a day-to-day basis. And don't forget that, because those prices of those goods and services will continue to go up, which will be reflective in company financials. So history otherwise, which is what I'm referring to, when the S&P 500 was created in 1957, has grown by nearly 13,000%, averaging 7.4% before dividends. If you add dividends on, we're looking at 10% per annum, even before the S&P 500 was created, just by the way, which I haven't put in the article, which was also 10% over the last 100 years. So when we look and dive deeper into the numbers, Lindsay, we look at the presidential terms, and just out of interest, Republicans have shown higher gains just per term. But when measured year by year, Democrats have edged ahead. So looking at annual returns, if I look at the median annual returns since 1957, we've got a 12.9% return for the Democrats a 9.9% return for the Republicans, for the S&P 500. So that is a win for the Democrats on an annual basis, median annual return. But when we look at the compounded average growth rate, the Democrats for their term have achieved a 9.4% return and Republicans a 10.2% return. So irrespective of who has invested, $10,000 invested in 1948 left untouched through every administration, red or blue, would have been worth 38 million rand in 2023. Hmm. And if you had invested only during Democrat years, you'd have around 1.2 million. That is a massive difference.
Yeah.
And if you had only invested during Republican years, you would have had closer to 312,000. That would mean that you would have had to obviously disinvest when Republicans or Democrats were president and holding cash. So just actually not doing anything would have yielded you a considerable amount.
It's quite difficult to do nothing, though, isn't it? When you're watching, you're turning onto channels that normally wouldn't cover businesses as the top story. Suddenly, it's a great big banner headline, markets plunge amid Trump tariff trade, all that sort of thing. You think, I'm gonna have to phone Aaron Ruttenberg and find out what's going on. I need to do something, but you don't.
No, exactly. I think what's important, and you know, this is what I'm here for. I don't really go into the market and buy and sell. Maybe for myself, I do that as a personal hobby of part of my investments. But when it comes to building portfolios, particularly, you know, if people that are listening that are still have cash on the sidelines, such as myself, and who have run towards the flames, that's fine. You know, and you might also want your hand to be held and you want to understand what's going on. There's nothing wrong with it. But we also have people that are retirees that don't have excess liquidity to invest. Now, there's just, by the way, two versions of this. There are clients that have a certain asset allocation, and that if now when markets have gone down, their ratio of equities to bonds has decreased, you obviously want to rebalance at a time where then you can actually buy more. So if you're in a 60-40 portfolio, for example, and 60% of your equities is now 50% and your bonds are 50%, well, guess what? You can go and rebalance and buy some more equities to rebalance that portfolio. But when we look at individual needs, especially retirees now in this case, we do so with times like these in mind, and we've got to remind them that. And that's why we diversify across multiple investments and we carve out cash buckets, which is basically allocations to cash and income funds, to cover years of income needs. And this allows us to avoid selling in panic and give your allocation that's allocated to growth the whole point of time, so that you don't have to go into it. So when people ask me, you know, what is our strategy now? Our strategy is exactly like it was in the beginning. We don't invest client money, particularly retirees, with a mindset of, oh, let's only go 100% into equities because the market's going to go up. We know the market is going to be volatile and we want to be spread across different equities, different geographies, as well as cash and bonds.
Okay. You say, what should you do now? And the subheadings underneath that main heading, number one, stay invested. We've spoken about that. Just stay invested. Don't sell. And if you don't want to buy, you're too nervous, then don't buy. Do nothing. Go for a walk. Go fishing. Play golf. Whatever you do. Second one, diverse globally. That's an interesting one, because the US, for the first time for a long time, has been an underperformer in ETFs over the first part of 2025. I can't remember that happening for quite a while, Aaron.
You're right. It's around an 8% differential for the year to date, where developed markets, excluding the USA, have outperformed the USA.
Yes.
But this is why we allocate to a fund manager. It doesn't matter if a client is aggressive for the long term or they're a retiree. When they've got the equity allocation, we will be globally diversified. And within global diversified portfolios, we'll have an allocation to the styles of management, value style. In this case, we use a manager who's invested basically mainly outside of the US that has emerging markets and developed market exposure. In fact, the allocation is probably around 18% to the US with a 40% allocation to Europe. So we want to make sure that clients are not only US invested. And that's not to say, you know, if you've got a 50-year time horizon or a 30-year time horizon and you're very young, if you just invested in the S&P, you'll do very well. It'll just be more volatile. But our clients have exposure to other types of markets that do behave differently, and the value style of market is behaving slightly differently, especially that's outside of the US. So you're 100% correct.
You say review your goals, not just your returns. Now, I understand that a moment in time like this, and hopefully it's not a long moment in time, I've got a feeling there will be more pain, especially when the EU come in with their retaliatory tariffs. And a few other countries as well. But I think there's going to be a little bit more volatility coming in. But let's say that we go through the summer, the Northern Hemisphere summer, we come out into the autumn and things are starting to return to normality. Have you sort of had a look at a little switch from equities to bonds or to fixed income, that sort of thing? Are you sticking to your current allocation?
Again, so that will very much depend on the client specific. If you're very much an aggressive client or an aggressive person such as myself, I don't really like allocation to bonds because I've got a long-term time horizon with that money. And to make your point even more important, or to emphasize that point of yours with bonds and cash, I believe in investing like saving like a pessimist and investing like an optimist. So what that means is it's saving like a pessimist is to make sure you've got a cash allocation. Mine's higher. It can be bonds and cash, of course, but that's part of my investment portfolio. And I'm slightly contradicting myself, but it's not for particularly growth. It's more for emergencies, certain things in life that might be expected or might be unexpected. I like that. But my entire portfolio, my investments, which are very much optimistic, investing like an optimist, is only 100% equities as long as it's invested globally and diversified. And it's the same, funnily enough, for retirees. Of course, you've got to make sure that you have cash and bonds in the portfolio. So, yes, everyone is different.
Okay. If you're unsure or just want to talk it through, reach out. I mean, people may be listening to this podcast and saying, yeah, this makes sense. I understand this. But I'd really like to hear it from the horse's mouth. So the best thing to do, get on the blower and speak to your financial advisor, because you can be very soothing and very persuasive, I must say, Aaron.
Thanks, Lindsay. I mean, if I'm going to be persuasive and I'm going to throw my own opinion into this, and this is just something that maybe will relax certain people, as I know the market is opening higher, but as Lindsay points out, we are going to go through certain times of turmoil, and your investments, particularly through Brentest, are obviously allocated accordingly and have that cash bucket, like I mentioned. But, you know, Trump's imposing of tariffs, and I'm not a political expert, but he's done it before. He did it similarly in 2019. This is now tariffs 2.0.
Yeah.
But the logic is tariffs increase the risk of economic slowdown. The Fed responds with a more dovish stance to offset the damage. Markets therefore cheer because the rates eventually go down, which is what Trump, I think, in my view, is trying to do, to get rates to go down, to get yields to drop, and to get then the stock market to rally. Trump does not want the end of his four-year term to have one of the worst stock markets, you know, in a presidency. In fact, on interviews, he's mentioned how he's achieved this the greatest stock market rallies. And I don't think coming in for the Republicans again, he'd rather do the damage now for what he wants to do and then negotiate that way. But he doesn't want to end a bad term. He doesn't want to end his term with a bad stock market. I can assure you that.
Well, he's got to change his policies fairly quickly then. Aaron, thank you very much for your advice. Aaron Ruttenberg is an advisor at Brenthurst in Sandton. And that was It's My Money.
It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.